Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Geico must pay a woman $5.2 million after she got an STD while hooking up with a guy in a car.
Oh.
Huh.
All right.
Whose fault is that exactly?
Attorney Norm Pattis on the show. Good morning.
Hey, so, you know, this is likely to be a one-off. I think this was genius lawyering on her lawyer's behalf. And here's what I think happened, as near as I can tell.
Okay.
You know, a little bit.
Norm, can you just move the phone a little bit? We just need the mouthpiece. There we go.
Is that better? I mean,
that was good.
Yeah, you know, a little ditty about Jack and Diane doing it with the Geico lizard the best they can, right? You know, and there we go. She gets the STD. She talks to the guy. He says, oh, well. And then I begin to wonder whether they worked together on this. Her lawyer makes a demand of his insurance company that they pay the policy limit, the $1 million personal injury policy limit on the car. Geico looked at it and said, are you kidding? You're out of your mind. We're not doing this. Not only are we not going to pay the claim because it's ridiculous, we're not going to defend the guy. So the guy then says, how am I going to get out of this jam? And he agrees to our, and he's probably self-represented at this point, or himself has a lawyer. And they consent to go to arbitration, where Geico is not present to defend, and perhaps the guy doesn't defend either. He just sits there like a potted plant, and she sings her tale of woe. The arbitrator, not a jury, not a judge, gives her a $5.3 million award, and then she takes that to court to get it confirmed, that is, to get it reduced to a judgment that she can enforce against Geico. Geico now appears and says, whoa, wait a minute. We're not going to pay that. That's ridiculous. Her car insurance policy doesn't cover this. The court held you should have turned up at the arbitration to defend, and you should have defended your insured. Since you did neither, you've got to pay. I mean, I was trying to remember the name of the movie. I think William Hurt may have been in it. There was a film where a physician is engaged in some malpractice, and he appears at his deposition, and he starts screaming, you know, at the top of his lungs and behaves like a total jerk, and the company pays the policy. He was in cahoots with the injured party and blew the case up so the insurance company would be scared into paying. In this case, I think the woman and the guy, the transmitter of the STD might have had a better thing going than what was going on in the back seat of the car. I think they took Geico for a ride.
Wow. So this one doesn't get reduced. It stays at $5.2 million.
Wow.
You know, there'll obviously be one final court that'll take a look at it.
AJ's trying to figure out how to get $5.4 million.
You saw my wheels turning.
Yeah. Like, hey, wait a minute.
I had to look at my face like, how can I make this work?
Hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it could get reduced. The court could say it's shocking and outrageous, but they could also say to Geico, you should stand by your insurers. Your insured, rather. Where were you at the arbitration?
Oh, I thought they already said that.
One court did. And I think if they could go, you know, I think they'll have one more stop.
Oh, like an appeal or something?
Or it's final. Yeah, right. You can always appeal. You know, I mean, not always, but you can always find a way to keep a fight alive. But to me, you know, looking at that, it's ridiculous. Well, you know, a friend of mine, a PI lawyer, sent it to me. And looking at it, I thought, it's crazy. You know, he's always telling me, you should be doing personal injury work.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't really care about personal injury work. You look at that, you start to care. But one-off.
Hey!
And it's, you know, it's a cautionary tale for insurers. You know, stand by your insured. Turn up. And don't ignore things before they're – don't ignore little problems because they can become larger problems in a heartbeat.
All right. I got a couple of other stories here I want to run by you and then see what your defense for the bad, quote, bad person in the story would be. Did you see the picture of the sucker punching Rangers fan? He's banned.
No, I did.
From Madison Square Garden for life.
That was a hell of a hit. That guy came off his feet and everything. I had no idea what was coming.
Phil, you want to set this up for Norm?
Absolutely brutal. Walking out, the Rangers had just lost, I believe. So this guy's probably pissed. Lightning fan behind him, smaller guy, shorter anyway. Rangers fan is walking in front of him, and it's crowded, Norm. So, like, at the end of the game, everybody's coming out. They're all flooding the hallway together, and they must have been chirping at each other already because the video's in progress before the punch comes in.
Yeah, yeah.
So the video's rolling. The guy in front, the Ranger fan, without any warning, wheels around on his heel and decks the guy just a straight shot right to the chin.
Right to the mush.
Gone.
Yep.
Like, he's out before he hits the deck.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Lands flat, doesn't get his arms out.
No, he just went down.
And he's down, and he's not moving.
Yep.
And it was so bad, other Rangers fans around him were like, oh, my God.
They start helping
the Lightning fan,
yeah,
who apparently ultimately was okay. He was unconscious. But, man, is it devastating to see.
So, Norm, if you're defending the Rangers fan, what's the defense here?
Well, the defense is that he ought to be working as the Rangers, mascot. I mean, he should be not sitting in the seats. He should be sitting on the side with the team there, you know, to spur them on, because a good fight on the ice can jazz the team up. So, you know, that would be the playful defense. The other would be provocation. The guy was in his face talking at him, you know, razzing him about the game, wouldn't let him go. The guy said, stop, stop, stop. And, you know, ultimately he turned to deck the guy. It's not as though it were a wanton assault. Or a stranger danger assault. It took two to tango, and this guy didn't like the dance he got.
Yep. He looked hungry, and I fed him a knuckle sandwich. He looked hungry.
Yeah.
I blasted him.
He
looked
hungry, yeah.
Yeah. So I fed him.
Yeah, he didn't like the dance he got. No, he didn't like that dance.
Oh, no. It wasn't much of a dance.
It was dancing with the stars out.
Exactly. Slam dance. Wow.
Here's another one. Guy bought insurance 26 minutes after crashing his car.
Oh, last minute, huh?
So this happened in 2019. His 2004 Nissan wasn't insured. He hit another driver, so he quickly got on the phone, called Progressive to add an existing policy.
Any flow.
The fact that he just signed up was a big red flag, so someone from Progressive called the local police and found out the crash was reported 26 minutes before he added the policy.
Wow.
They denied the claim of $3,700. Police charged him with insurance fraud. Now, if you're defending this guy, what's his defense?
Synchronize your watches. I mean, you know, this is such a narrow call. Who can say whose watch was right? I mean, clearly the insurance company has a motive not to want to pay because it's suspicious. But is there some universal timepiece in the world where everybody's timepieces are synchronized? Clearly it's a mistake on the insurance department company's timepiece, not his.
Do you ever see Back to the Future?
This is brilliant.
He just saw Back to the Future.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what are we all on Greenwich Mean Time right now?
Seriously, right.
Mean Time everywhere, always.
One clock at the same time.
I know.
I don't, my house. Not one at the same time. It looks like, you know, like you see the news.
Different countries.
That's my house. I'm like, it's different time zones.
What time is it in the kitchen? Right. What time is it in the living room?
Right. Yeah, my office, I don't even know what the hell. It's like 3 days later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what is this? Is this for your mom? Is this like, I have no idea.
The clock tower on the old train station in Waterbury, above 84. It's got four clocks facing different directions. I've been in Connecticut for 35 years. Those clocks have never agreed.
Yep.
You know? So I call it the Waterbury Clock Tower defense.
Thrill interpretive.
Waterbury Clock Tower defense. All right, very good.
Nice.
All right, this one's going to be tougher for you.
All right.
Florida woman.
Hey, these weren't easy at all.
No. And you did a good job.
This one's going to be tougher.
Yeah.
Florida woman stabs roommate in a toaster strudel fight.
Oh, I love strudel.
Those are delicious, by the way.
Yeah, justified.
Victim told the cop that he and his roommate, 21-year-old Griffin Crystal, were arguing about past incidents when someone ate a toaster strudel. The victim describes Crystal allegedly slapping the victim's phone out of his hand and using pepper spray.
Oh, hey.
As the roommate was cleaning his face in the sink, the suspect jumped at him with a metal pot and then pulled out a pocket knife and said, quote, don't make me use this.
Oh, I'm going to whittle you. Yep.
Crystal is heard saying in the footage, I'm going to stab you. The video also captured him calling the victim a bitch and a criminal before lunging at him. The injured roommate was also treated on the scene for a deep gash to his hand and forearm. Crystal was taken into custody on charges of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, battery, and briefly held on a $6,500 bond.
It's got to be some good toast strudel.
If you're defending this guy, how do you do it?
The strudel made me do it. I mean, you've heard of the Twinkie defense.
Yes,
I mean,
the Twinkie defense. Sure, yes, yes.
There. Wait, no, what happened there?
This was shrewd marketing by Pillsbury, whomsoever it was, because they make us want these sweet meats, these sweet, tasty treats so badly we abandon reason. So here is a couple in just the middle of a day-to-day conflict over, oh, I don't know, a past affair, who robbed the bank. You know, I mean, you know, maybe she wanted to join ISIS. He didn't. Who knows what the dispute was. And they could have worked it out, but for the strudel. And this was really a fight about displaced passions, about who was going to get the last morsel. Because you know how it is when something's really good, like the last piece of pizza, and there's three or four people at the table, and you all have to decide who wants to have it.
You fight to death.
Trying to be good. No, you have it. You have it. You have it. But you really want it. And so one person decides, you know what? I'm going to take it. The other three of you want to kill them because you all wanted the piece. Something like that happened here. This is about the strudel and the highly addictive, savory qualities that the manufacturer put in it. But for that, this couple would have worked it out without violence. I'm confident.
They do include a frosting packet in those that are delicious.
This is why Pop-Tarts puts two in a package.
It's all hot. Right. I mean, it's you pour that frosting
on. The toaster strudel.
It's friggin'
heaven.
It is.
Yeah, merry-go-rounds. Yeah, I remember those.
Because the strudel comes separate. You put that in, and then you...
Yeah, then you put the icing on top afterwards.
Slather the icing on it.
And there was no intent to stab. They were just trying, really, they were really fighting over who was going to open the icing package
right.
to lift the wrapper.
That's true.
You know, I mean, let's face it. We know what happened.
They're addicted.
It's all about the frosting.
Right. It sounds like a great murder mystery, but for the strudel.
Right, exactly right. The strudel strangulation.
We got another one. Attorney Norm Pattis is on.
Right.
We're throwing various cases at him. See what the defense
would be. He's throwing it back, too. Yeah.
Man paid with a counterfeit bill, then used the, quote, not my pants excuse. Do you need more details?
Clearly, this is another George. Yeah, not my pants.
Yeah, not his pants.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, it just sounds to me like George Floyd has been reincarnated. I mean, anytime I think of use of a counterfeit bill, I think he wants to be a millionaire. So, you know, I don't know what the not my pants thing has to do. Maybe he went into the store, he had the money in his pocket, he bought something. Hey, that's a counterfeit bill. Oh, you know what? I put my roommate's pants on. I have no idea how that bill got in there. I just put my hand in my pocket. It felt like a dollar. I thought it was a dollar. You know, my roommate is a schmuck. So these aren't my pants. Look, they're too baggy. I haven't lost weight. Do I look like the kind of guy who goes on a diet? Seriously, they're my roommate's pants.
What kind of charge do you get for counterfeit? Is that that's a bad one.
Every time
I mean, you know, you know, it's pretty serious. I mean, depending on the number of bills, I mean, the integrity of the money supply is an important issue. I mean, we all, you know, think about it, what a dollar bill is. It's really just a worthless piece of exotic paper with bizarre ink and symbolism on it.
I collect them.
It has no intrinsic value at all.
Yeah.
I collect them, too. We use them for everything. And without trust in them, where would we be? The economy would collapse. So, you know, if you're knowingly passing counterfeit bills, you're likely going to get some jail time.
All right, here's another one.
Knowingly. Oh, good.
Norm Pattis is on. Fired Little Caesars. Oh, damn. I told him I'd have him off the phone by 7:15.
Oops.
I gotta let you go.
Oh, man.
All right, Joe. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Yep.
Mark and Meriden.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Hello.
Good, thank you.
I got a good one about my father being wrong. He was wrong on my wedding day. He said the marriage wouldn't last more than a year. Me and my wife are working on 37 years now.
Wow. Congratulations. Wow.
What a thing to say to you on your wedding day.
It's for good luck.
We were both drunk anyway.
Exactly.
Oh, right. All right.
So that's it.
These things happen.
All right.
You know.
How old were you when you got married?
22,
23. Okay, I can see how, you know, sometimes.
I got another story. I got a good story about my wife.
Well, why wouldn't you just start
with that?
All right, go ahead.
Well, my wife is 6 years older than me, and when we were younger, she used to be my babysitter.
No.
Really?
Most folks give a tip.
He did.
And brownies. And brownies and stuff like that.
I did.
Is that how, did your relationship begin during this?
You should probably say no.
Professional?
I met her when she was my babysitter, but after I got out of the Army, we hooked up again, you know?
What do you mean, again?
Yeah.
So did you hook up while she was your babysitter?
No, I was 6 years old.
Right.
Oh, well.
I wish I'd known then.
She was 12, you were 6.
Yeah.
Okay. And nothing happened?
Nothing.
No.
But then sometime before you went to the Army, you guys hooked up.
Oh, yeah, but then when I got out of the Army, it was no big deal before when the Army. When I got out, we hooked up again, and that's it. Been together ever since.
Nice.
Good for you, and thank you for your service.
Yes, thank you, sir.
Well, thank you.
I'm sure she would like to thank you for your service.
Right.
Thank me in a better way.
Right, you have any kids?
Yeah.
All right, very
good.
She's
got one. I've got one. I've got two, and we've got one.
Wait, you got out of the Army.
Was she married already?
No, she just got a divorce.
Oh.
Well, she had one already.
Right.
Okay.
I got two.
You had two before the Army?
Well, one after, one during and one after.
Right.
During the Army.
He deployed twice, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. The kids that you have after the Army, those are kids that you share with her.
Yeah. And then we got one together.
One. Wait, there's how many?
We got four.
Four altogether. Right.
You got four.
Four girls.
You have one together.
Wow.
Right. And then I got two other girls.
That toilet is always down.
Wait.
Yep.
If you have four girls.
Yeah.
And one you had.
I feel like we're counting some kids twice.
Yes, I think
we are. Yeah, you are. Well, one was hers.
But how are you counting them twice if he says he has four?
Just
and then
name
he said
them
that's
all.
Four.
Yeah.
One is my wife's daughter.
Okay. Just
my stepdaughter.
Hers.
Right.
Yeah, just as my stepdaughter. I had one when I was in the Army.
Okay. That's two.
That's two. I had one when I got out of the Army.
That's three.
Not with her. Right.
Not with her. No, not with her.
Okay.
Okay, that's three.
Four. Four was with her.
This is Maury.
And number four.
So four.
Number four daughter.
Number four daughter.
I had with my wife.
Well, you should make up pretty good on Father's Day then.
Yeah. You would think.
You would think, yeah.
Yeah, nope.
But I'm tired of getting ties and socks.
Yeah, right.
Ties and socks.
Ties and socks. You want a dad's want a steaks package.
Do you even wear a tie?
Yeah. No.
Oh,
yeah, okay.
Yeah.
What do you do? The only time I wear a tie is for special occasions, whatever.
Like funerals and weddings, yeah. Yeah.
That's the joke.
Like most of us.
They give you the same tie every year.
Yeah, really.
Go in my drawer and get it. Huh?
Yeah, listen. I know you liked it last year. Yeah.
He won't even write. Watch. He won't even know.
Yep.
Have you ever told them what you want? What do you want?
No, I let them decide. It's more better.
Well, how have they been doing with that?
That's not very good, apparently. You got to give them orders in your Army, damn it.
Yeah.
Give them a hint.
Yes.
I should this year, huh?
Yeah, why not? Go for it.
What would you like?
Yeah.
20-year-old blonde.
I don't think your wife's going to like that very much.
I'm 60.
They're friends.
Let them stick with the tie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be safer for me.
Yeah, mom's going to strangle you with it.
Okay, you're in the running for the Leonard Skinner tickets. And if you win those, you're in the running for the smoker. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
We were joking about him not recognizing the tie. That actually happened with my dad once. He's Italian, so he wears, pinky rings. And the diamond fell out, so it was in his nightstand forever. My mom snuck in there, and she thought for a nice Father's Day gift, she would get the diamond,
put back in.
Right.
Wrapped
it up, opened it on Father's Day. He goes, oh, so cool. It fits perfect. Where'd you find this? Dad, it's your ring, Dad.
Love it. All right.
That's a true story.
That's great.
We're taking phone calls. Come to find out, Dad was wrong. Everybody on gets in the running for Skinner tickets. Samantha and Madison.
Good morning.
Morning you.
My father was wise, but not with his wives, of which he had 1, 2, 3. One was a narcissist, 2 was the accident, and the gold digger, she made 3.
A poem? Really?
Yep.
Did you write this while you're on hold, or this feels like this was written out of like some painful time away in therapy.
Happy Father's Day.
There once a man from Nantucket.
Yeah, you should write that in a car.
Yes, you should.
I'm sitting in the car, and I'm on hold. So, yes, I wrote it on hold.
You're pretty good.
That's pretty good.
I love it.
All right, so wait, who was the first one?
The mistake?
The narcissist.
The narcissist.
Narcissist. And then the mistake?
And then the gold digger.
Yes, the mistake. Yes.
Okay. Now, define mistake.
I'm pretty sure she told him she couldn't have kids.
Trapped him. With him, yeah. Yeah.
And then had a kid?
Somebody else, yes.
Yeah, I was number two.
Oh. Kid number two. Right. You feeling number
kid
two?
Well, I was from wife number two, but I was kid number four. Five. Oh. Five.
Wait.
Six.
You were from the mistake?
Yes.
Your mother is the mistake.
Right.
Yes.
Mistake mom.
That's an interesting Mother's Day card.
There's a, yeah, right.
We stopped that a long time ago.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So the narcissist, have you met her or heard about her?
No, I've met her.
Oh. Well, they don't all come over on Mother's Day, do they?
No.
Not convinced.
No, but that would be interesting.
Yeah, why not? And videotape it.
So the narcissist, then the mistake, your mom was the mistake.
Right, her mom. Mistake
your
mom.
Your mom was the mistake.
Right, boo-boo.
And then the third one was the gold digger.
Right.
Now, is she successful?
Yes.
She made out.
She hung in there the longest, so she kind of deserved what, you know.
Well, it was money on the line, so, you know.
Yeah, exactly. She got paid for her services.
She did. Works hard for the money.
Well, how long was she with your dad? And is it that hard to be with your dad? She should be paid out at the end like a pension?
Seriously.
Severance. She was with him before number one, during number two, and then she lasted like 25 or 30 years after that when they were married.
Oh, wow. She was around for a long time.
Yeah, it's never-ending series, basically, yes.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, she wasn't.
Like Bonanza.
No, she wasn't. She wasn't the loyal type. No. Neither was he, obviously.
Oh, wow.
No.
But it worked out later.
Yeah.
And if you win the Skinner tickets and win the smoker, who gets the smoker? You or Dad?
Well, Dad's dead, so I get the smoker.
Right. Wow, Dad's dead.
Right.
Samantha the smoker.
Right.
I'm sorry, I just didn't expect the story to take that turn.
Right.
This is, I just want to know so much more about all of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a soap opera.
Do you ever walk in on Dad and he's with somebody he's not supposed to be with?
No, I never walked in on anybody. I was kept away from that. But I you know, when you're a kid, you have that sense of things, you know.
Right. Yeah, they gave money to go to the movies all by myself.
Yeah, no, they said it would work.
I've already seen this movie three times,
Dad. Double feature, right. And I got candy money, too.
You're going to like it.
I got candy money, too.
And I don't want to watch Batman again.
And a new bike.
Well, based on the calls we're getting, we're doing this all week long. I love it. I love your honesty.
And I love when poets call.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really well done. Thank you, Samantha. This is Taylor Kalmus. The dude dad.
Oh.
What does that mean, the dude dad?
What does that mean?
The Camptown races. Dude dad. All dude dad day.
Dude dad.
Sorry. You were saying?
I mean, to me, it's all about staying a dude while being a dad. That's when I started my channel 6 years ago. That was kind of the idea, that I was going to go into fatherhood and you know, stay true to myself while bringing my kids into that.
Okay, so no khakis.
Right.
Keep the cool.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Exactly, yeah, like the whole New Balance sneaker mowing the lawn thing. We make a lot of jokes about that on our channel, but I actually don't like to mow my lawn.
No good.
Okay. Who mows it?
Who does, really?
The kids.
No one likes it.
Yeah.
No, I know people who, right, that's their break from the family.
That's the moment is
how
in.
Many kids do you have, Taylor?
I've got three kids.
Three. Oh, and you don't like to mow the lawn?
Right. Right. Come on, man.
My God.
You should be able to cut it every day.
Oh, would you rather be with them?
Right. You should cut it every day and have a beer while you're doing it.
That's a lot of mow time.
It's true. Mm. Well, you don't actually have the mower like, you know, low. You have it like to right over the grass. It just looks like you're cutting the lawn.
Right, exactly. They don't know the difference.
Oh. Right. They have no idea.
You could be out there longer. Right.
Don't wonder why there's no grass cutting.
Avoid something else.
Yeah. All right. So let's go through this top five ways to help your wife.
Ooh, top five ways to help your wife. Okay, so this is while she's pregnant, right?
Yes, this is in your book. It's new dad advice in his book.
I mean, it really kind of varies throughout the pregnancy, throughout first trimester, second trimester, third trimester, because things just change dramatically throughout. That first trimester, she's going to be just insanely tired all the time, and that's the number one thing I always tell people is, like, you know, just lower your expectations. Don't expect her to want to, like, go out and do stuff or hang out or anything. Just
cut,
like,
your lawn.
Allow her to have her space. Yeah, exactly. Allow her to have her space to just, you know, sleep.
Okay.
I think that's the big thing there. Because she's just going to be tired, and you're just going to have to pitch in a lot more around the house to get things done, and be okay with that. Be comfortable with the fact that she's just that her body's going through an insane amount of stuff right now, and she just needs to kind of pull back from her normal.
Is there any scenario where your wife's getting sleep and you're like, "Hey, get up and do stuff"?
No, I don't recommend that. No, no, no.
Do we need advice on this? Like, hey, just give her space. Like, oh, okay, thanks. Yeah,
that's called how not to get your sack ripped off.
I'm sleeping over here.
How to keep your pair?
It's important advice.
You're gonna have those thoughts in your head. You're gonna have those thoughts. You just have to know that you're not supposed to act on those thoughts.
Okay. You know, it does sound like an obvious one.
Your mom teaches you that as you're getting older.
No, but we're in a day and age where you have to put this coffee's hot.
Right.
On a cup.
That's so true.
I get it. What he's doing is I'm going to help everybody with this
book. In case you're an idiot.
Some people already know, but in case you're an idiot, here you go.
Don't drive away with the pump still attached. Like, we need to be told these things now.
Exactly.
Well, it happens.
Take a cloth before you go in the shower, yeah.
All right, Taylor Kalmus is on. The Dude Dad. He's got a cool book out, A Dude's Guide to Baby Size, and it's What to Expect and blah, blah, blah. We're linked up on the radio station website. Running through the top five ways to help your wife. So one, give her space.
Get out of the way, basically.
Yeah, get out of the way.
Right.
Yeah. Two is just pitch in with all the rest of the other kids. If you've got other kids in the house, like, you need to take the lead on them. Get them out of the way. Let her, you know, just really give her room.
Like,
you know?
So you're saying, be a dad.
Everybody evacuate the house, basically.
Get
saying.
Them out
evacuate
of the way.
Evacuate the house. She's going to go off and she's going to blow.
Gotcha. Just lock him in the attic for
run,
a while.
Kids, run your lives.
We'll be fine.
Go to the bunker.
Sound like a bomb.
Yeah.
The mom can't deal with anything else.
Have you seen
I hope your book explains get them out of the way.
Yeah.
Give him some power tools.
He's like, he says, you know, she's not a bomb. Have you ever seen a woman mad? Scorched earth.
Yeah, I mean, well, the book walks you through each week of pregnancy, comparing your unborn child to things that men understand. You know, like most apps and stuff, it's always like fruits and vegetables. But my issue with that is, like, how big is the stalk of broccoli, and what the hell is a kumquat? You know, so I compare the size of your unborn child to things that men know, like a 10-millimeter socket, a baseball, a 3-pound brisket.
A Big Mac.
You know, things like that.
Interesting.
Exactly. But then I use each object to launch into, you know, what's going on with your wife and your baby in that week, you know, in some sort of story, and just pretty much any life lesson I've learned about fatherhood over the last 6 years.
Like your greatest hits, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like every single, and not just my advice, like all this stuff that I picked up from my own parents when I was a kid as well.
Right. Well, what was the lesson that you learned the hard way that you put in the book?
The lessons I've learned the hard way?
Hmm.
I mean, I think one of the toughest stages, because I'm still a fairly new parent. My oldest kid's only 6.
Okay.
You know, so, yeah, so
that's
I haven't gone
new?
Through teenage stages yet.
No. 6?
Well, newish.
I
mean, newish.
Still sort of fresh.
Yeah. Still a couple more things you got to find out.
In the sense that all of the parenting advice I have are for is for a 6-year-old and under. So if your kids are older than six,
good
I can't help you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck. Let me know how it goes.
Right, like you haven't gotten the middle school years yet. Like that's
puberty.
That's a whole different deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, so that's that'll have to be another book, but it's gonna have to be a while because I gotta figure that out first.
See how much you like doing the lawn then.
Yeah, that'll be how to grow weed your home.
Yeah, so I mean, the biggest stage I went through is like, you know, toddlers, you know, and how and getting through like tantrums and understanding why kids tantrum and things like that. And I think the big lesson that I learned there was, you know, as babies, we give them everything they need. Right. Everything they need.
True.
We were there with them for babies. Right. And then they become toddlers and they start developing wants and they expect us to meet all of those, too.
Like demands.
And
yeah.
We're not going.
This
to,
is a great
you know?
Point.
Yeah, it so, is.
This is how.
Exactly.
Yes. This
right.
is great.
Yep.
This is great.
That's why I got nothing as a kid.
They get used to.
Right.
I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Give me.
I need diaper.
Right.
Yeah. And mom and dad are right there with that.
Right.
And they don't understand. You don't need the toy.
Right. You don't.
Now
I
you're
don't?
Not getting that.
Yeah.
And
right.
You're like,
right.
Ah!
Right. And you need to learn how to use a toilet.
Because it worked before.
Because you're on solids.
I'm hungry.
Right.
I'm busy.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Here's a bottle.
Right. Peanut butter and jelly over there.
Yeah. Still works for me.
That's a good point.
Who cares?
Yeah. So you got to get crafty at how you approach those situations. So, you know, try to say no by saying yes, you know. So it's like, dad can have a popsicle. Yes, let's have a popsicle after we finish our dinner.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. Bribe them.
You said,
like a deal.
You said, well, you're saying no by saying yes. No, you can't have one right now. Well, we have one later, but you say it without actually saying no.
Nice.
Eventually, you will end up using that word a lot, and it will start to set them off. So whatever way you can do to kind of avoid setting them off, because once they get into that tantrum mode, you kind of have to just distract them and get them out of it before you can, like, teach them anything. Because once they're, you know, once they're all hyped up, there's no turning back.
That's pretty good. But you're also making a deal. Like,
you
you'll get
deal.
That,
right.
You're going to have to wait and eat dinner.
Right, or drink this little children's Tylenol.
Right. Yeah, melatonin.
Look, he's sleeping.
That's next lesson, melatonin.
That's a great lesson. For me, the toddler stage was total concentration because they will get into something so fast and you just turn your back.
For 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I was on the air here.
It's like Gremlins.
In the studio. Young Chaz is behind me.
Yeah.
I'm like, what could he possibly do in the studio?
Right.
I'm on the air doing a break. I turn the mic off. I turn around. All the CDs on the bottom, like lower level, are all pulled out.
Oh, boy. Well,
and he did it quietly.
Nice. Like a ninja.
Like a ninja.
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't even hear them coming out.
Right.
And he's like, that I do. Wow, that's
impressive.
You know, he took
pretty
out every,
impressive.
Took out every screw in this chair.
I hope these weren't in alphabetical order because I'm just shoving them back in now.
Right. Who cares?
This is pretty good advice that you have in here.
Yeah.
I mean, very good.
I worked
very effective.
You've earned it. Yeah.
Yes. Earned the hard way.
What else? Give us one more, then we're going to let you go.
Okay, sure. Let me see here. Yeah, I mean, my like the final chapter in the book is the toolbox. Week 40, your baby is now the size of a toolbox. And that metaphor to me is all about how the different approaches that we need to take.
Man, if it's the size of my toolbox, there's a problem.
Big problem. Because that ain't coming out.
Wow, what
gonna
have
need
you
a
been
mover.
Feeding this kid?
It's going to need a mover.
Miracle grow?
Yep. A flatbed.
Well, it's like... You know, every single project you do requires different tools. Like you can, like a hammer is great for a lot of things. You can pound nails with it. You can pull nails with it. You can bang things into place. But if you try to fix your sink with the hammer, you're probably going to need a new sink and some towels, you know?
Right. So don't do
that. So the idea behind this is that, you know, every single scenario with your children is going to require a different approach to parenting that you can't just always you know, discipline, you can't just always reward, you can't just always bring the hammer down. Like, there's different approaches to each situation, but also each kid requires different approaches. I think that's the other big lesson I've learned.
Right.
I have three kids.
Yeah.
That, like, every single one of your kids has such a vastly different personality that they won't respond the same way that their brothers or sisters did. You know, you have to kind of be open to, like, figuring out each individual kid and what they need to help get them through the world.
Like, get to know them and stuff? Ooh.
Yeah, gotta get to know your kids.
Oh, great.
How terrible.
Talk to them.
Now, that's another good point, because they're three different people.
Right.
And they're going to respond differently. It's weird how you can have three kids in one house, same parents, but all three are so different.
I'm supposed to have one kid with three different personalities.
Or you'll have two that are similar, and one that's like, where did you come from?
The rebel, yeah. Either you're super.
Where are you from? What either, planet are you from?
Either you're Dexter.
You did not come out of here.
Right, yeah. Like, you can solve calculus? Where did you come from?
Yeah. No, or it's the devil.
Yeah, either
you
or,
know?
Right.
Like, what? Yeah, where are you from?
Right. You going to paint your room black? with shades. Okay.
Are all three of yours similar?
Safe.
Or all three completely different?
The first two, the four or the 6-year-old and the 4-year-old, are very different. It's boy then girl, and the firstborn, second, even just birth order can do a lot with it. Like, the firstborn is very meticulous and calculated, and you know, like, he's very type A.
Yeah.
But he also is very like me. And then the secondborn is more whimsical and kind of like out there. Like, she's kind of aloof, but right. She's also really, really sweet and thoughtful.
Okay.
They're very different. And then the third one's 1 year old. So, you know, kind
the
of
head spins around. Young,
but, yeah.
Gotcha.
Right now he's just crawling and, you know, pulling everything out of the closet.
Setting things on fire, stuff like that. Yeah, gotcha.
So you have six?
Yeah, you know.
And the youngest is one. What's the middle one? How old?
Four.
The whimsical one, yes.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
Four.
Right.
So you had a little break. You were out of diapers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That woman. You've been in diapers almost 6 years.
Yeah.
But there was a little bit of a pause, and then you're right back to diapers.
So I'm guessing the first child gets all the nutrients, the good nutrients from mom. The second one gets slightly less, and the third one's like, you know, what's on tap? That's why they turn it that way. Because my sister's smarter than I am.
Definitely.
I know it's surprised there.
I mean, I've
heard... What are you saying? We were, like, breast milk is better in the beginning?
Puree. No, I'm saying that probably the first run, the first kid, probably gets all the best of everything because it's a brand new thing, you know? So everything gets poured into that one.
Oh, like the body?
Yeah.
Gives it the best?
Like it gets everything, right? And then the second time, now things, you know, it's like getting a used car. Okay, you buy a brand new car, it's perfect. The second car, okay, well, you know, because, you know, it's been around for a while.
Wouldn't the second car off the line be also brand new?
No. I'm saying as far as the nutrients go, as far as like what mom's giving you.
Nutrients.
So now you're getting used car status, and then the third kid gets the junk.
Taylor's listening like, there may be an argument to this.
Thank you.
He's the second one.
Hey, exactly. See? I'm smart too, Mike.
I don't know about that.
Right. I'm just saying.
Taylor is the dude dad. His book is called A Dude's Guide to Baby Size, What to Expect and How to Prep for Dads to Be. You know, I thought it was, I know you're a comedian, so I thought this is going to be just all jokes, but there's some good advice in here.
You did?
Really good advice.
How'd you do that?
And you know, the thing is when you're walking out of that hospital holding your baby for the very first time, your very first kid, like when I was walking out, I was waiting for someone to stop me.
Excuse
me,
sir.
Wait a minute. You're not qualified for this.
Put the baby down.
There's a test.
Right.
There's study and there's things you need. You can't go out into the world carrying this human life.
Yeah. There's got to be something you got to do.
There's got to be.
I'd be thinking, how am I paying
for
this? How am I
going to
pay for this?
Here's the book.
Yeah. Like, I'm leaving a new car.
Yeah.
How am I going to pay for this?
It's pretty terrifying when you think that, like, when you realize that, like, anybody is allowed to just have a child.
Yes. It's amazing,
like,
isn't it?
When you think about how much work and effort it takes and how easily you can screw it up, and they're just like, yeah, no, anybody can do that. You don't need a license for that. Go for it.
No license, no quiz, nothing.
Just
no,
good luck.
Not even a questionnaire.
They even sit you down and say, listen, are you sure you want to do this?
I can't even get a pen from this building without telling three people first. It's like, can I get the code to get in there?
See, after you have a kid, you can't put them on Craigslist, right?
I just need a pen.
Yeah. I had a kid for sale brand new.
This book is great. I wish I had it, you know, 28 years ago.
Yeah, so. See?
All right, thank you, Taylor. An Indiana man who noticed some unusual lumps in a catfish reeled in by his friend discovered the contents of its stomach included a phallic adult toy.
Oh, it was still buzzing? That fish was like, the fish looks nervous. He's shaking.
Yeah, I couldn't swim in a straight line.
Right. Apparently inhaled too hard. Yep.
Richard and John went fishing on his boat. When they reeled in the first ever blue catfish.
Oh. Blue catfish is funny. How is blue spelled? Was it UA or EW? Yep.
Explains a lot. We noticed when we got it in the boat that its stomach was huge.
Huge.
He pushed on the catfish's belly and felt two hard objects that did not feel like normal fish food.
Clearly, those things got nuts.
End quote.
Yeah.
He and Hoop took the fish back to his house for cleaning. We decided to cut it open, and we found the foam ball.
A foam ball.
Part of a fish.
Right.
And the other object. Wow, this thing.
Pretty elaborate.
Whatever.
Apparently so, yes.
Well, they are bottom feeders, right? They just eat whatever junk is on the bottom.
Basically, literally junk, yes. They ate junk, all right.
That was really
even electronic junk right?
I feel like they just swim around with their mouth open.
They
like
do.
Like, whatever goes in is like, oh, nope,
I know
that
folks,
then.
I know people like that. They walk with their mouth open all the time. Like, mouth breathers. Yeah.
He posted photos of the fish's unusual snack on Facebook.
Oh, I'm sure folks took that nicely.
Quote, I have no idea or why it ended up in the river.
Mm.
End quote.
Right.
His three-year-old daughter was helping clean the fish.
Oh, no. Well, it's obvious that thing came off a pleasure boat.
He and his wife had to quickly avert her gaze.
Yeah. Look over here. Mm-hmm. I don't care what. Somebody caused disturbance at distance. Don't touch that.
What would you call that? Like, what would you tell your daughter? It's a Barbie missile,
right? Exactly.
She fires
right.
In. She goes off. It's a rocket. She goes off. You put her inside.
Exactly.
She goes
off in the space. This fish belongs to NASA.
When it came on, my wife started laughing. My wife immediately covered my daughter's eyes and turned her away.
She said, "That's where I put it." What?
The wife.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We talked about the TikTok challenge where kids are jumping in front of trucks.
Yes.
To see if they'll stop.
The angel of death.
Yes. Horrible.
Stupid. Dumb.
It's interesting because if it doesn't stop, then that's your last video.
Yeah, exactly.
It
right.
Sure
right.
is.
Right.
Yeah. So there'll be a lot of accounts where you see all these different challenges.
Yeah, when you see St. Peter, he goes, good one.
And you see this one.
That was brilliant.
Hey, you didn't make it, did you?
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.